Rhonda Connolly, as a high school teacher for HCPS, I have many concerns about the constant changes and announcements coming from Dr. Bolson. It has been an extremely stressful time for all teachers as we have worked, many of us throughout the summer, to plan curriculum, learn how to use new technology tools, and we have all had to plan our lessons as if we are brand new teachers on this new platform. As college campuses close and students are sent home to learn online in our area, our school system has decided to open early to appease the governor and put our students and teachers at risk. After a difficult adjustment to online learning, we couldn't quite celebrate the end of our first full week of instruction, which was actually getting a bit easier because we were bombarded with yet another change of plans. After the announcement of dates for return, we had way more questions than answers, and there was no plan given to us as to how this would work in a high school setting, and nobody had answers as to how teachers would be provided with PPE to help protect themselves. Here is what we need. 1. There needs to be teachers included in the decision-making process for a return to school. I am tired of hearing "we didn't think of that" when questions are brought up to administration or other personnel, because you aren't in our shoes and don't know the ins and outs of a school building or a classroom. 2, we need to know exactly what is expected of us. Are we expected to teach students in our classroom at 25% while at the same time teaching the other 75% through a computer while wearing a mask? I teach Spanish and it seems like an impossible task. I am sure many other educators would feel the same way in their content areas as well. Are we expected to monitor the chat, raise hand in other areas as well, and other features of Teams while managing the behavior and participation in our own classrooms? Are teachers supposed to create their other asynchronous work for the students who are not in the classroom? How will my classroom be sanitized in the 10 minutes that I have in between classes? Who is responsible for doing this? How will students use the bathroom at school? How will I use the bathroom at school when there is always a line of teachers under normal circumstances between classes? 3, we need to be provided with appropriate PPE and equipment to do this job well and be safe at the same time. Teachers should be provided with the plexiglass dividers that are in the main offices and other offices in public, clear plastic dividers for our desks. Students should have plexiglass dividers at their desks to help maintain safety when students walk by them. Teachers should also be provided with disposable masks for each day so we can dispose of them and not bring germs home to our families from the reusable masks. Teachers should be able to request a face shield as well. I find it disheartening that so many decisions are made without our union or any teacher representatives included in the decision-making process. We all want to work together with you to come up with the best plan we can for our students. My children also attend HCPS and I want them to be in a safe environment to learn. Right now, they are in the safest environment, our home, and they are learning. Throughout the day, I can hear their amazing teachers finding creative ways to have fun and keep their attention while diving into new content. I have students online participating, raising their hands, sharing, speaking Spanish, submitting audio and video recordings, responding to my individualized feedback throughout its learning. It has been difficult and exhausting to make this transition, but we are learning and working to make this the best we can for our students. Just to be sidelined with the new plan that does not keep safety at the top of its list. We want to return to it in-person learning when it is safe to do so, as I already stated in my last letter to the Board of Education when they created a hybrid plan in the summer before realizing that it would not work for our students in Harford County. What has changed about this plan that will make it more effective now than it was a couple of months ago? What benefit will students have entering school for one day a week while putting teachers at risk every day? Rebecca Romer. It is past time that you stop handling our children's education as some sort of privilege they need to earn. It is not. It's their right by law. even with Harford County showing some of the best COVID metrics in the state, especially when you look at data inclusive of factors like nursing home deaths, you continue to refuse to progress accordingly. There are years of data and factual studies of the documented damage and detriment caused by lack of in-person instruction for school-aged children, depression, suicide, inability to process social stress. I could go on, but I'm starting to wonder what is the point? In your position, you must be aware. So you are choosing to ignore it and instead make your decisions on what might happen to the least affected population in the world. It's unacceptable. One day a week is not acceptable. At your rate, our children will have missed an entire year of proper education. On my own, I have heard from dozens and dozens of parents from many states across the country who have successfully had their kids in school anywhere between 3 and 5 days a week since August, and it is going well. It can be done. If it's not done here, it is because you simply don't want to. Say what you want to the contrary, but every plan you have submitted says more about the direction you choose to take this district and our children. One day a direction you choose, one day a week is not acceptable. One symptom before sending a child home for testing is not acceptable. None of this is acceptable. Do better. You are not only bringing down a school district, but the entire county around it. A once coveted school system has been shown to be lackluster at best. Parents losing or needing to leave their jobs to educate their children will affect the economy, home values, and our overall way of life. Do better. Melissa Cheney, I am writing to express my support for continued virtual learning as well as my reservations for returning students to classrooms during cold and flu season with COVID-19 continues to circulate. My students are both middle and high school, so my concerns focus on that. I have a great deal of concern for how a controlled environment of a small percentage of students may be maintained, especially in the high school, where students' schedules are not coordinated. For both schools, I believe there is no way to maintain physical distancing in classes as well as during transitions, wondering how lockers would be handled. Students and teachers have settled into a virtual learning, and now to add a classroom to be maintained all while virtual and in-person students learn with their devices as a teacher now teaches with the mask on seems to be a hindrance to the learning process for all involved, especially during foreign language classes. Having students carry devices with them throughout the school as well as to school and back home seems like an accident waiting to happen with no devices available for backups. How will contact tracing be conducted for high school and middle school with students throughout the hallways and in many classrooms with many different students? How will asymptomatic cases be handled? How will symptomatic cases be handled? I feel that consistency is the key for students and teachers, and this model of introducing small groups into schools will disrupt the consistency as students and staff are relegated to quarantining at what I imagine will quickly become alarming numbers. Will in all virtual options still be provided for those students whose families choose not to return them to school during this uncertain time, whether due to high-risk family members or just a need to remain consistent with one educational platform? I feel it is too soon, and there is still too little controls in place to safely return teachers and students to the classroom at this time. Thank you for your consideration. Lori McNeil, as a parent, I am extremely concerned with the quality of education will dramatically decrease because of my child's teacher is now responsible for teaching online and in person simultaneously. The proctors at the learning centers are already having a difficult time helping the students with technical difficulties. The proctors currently have less students than the teachers will have, and they are not teaching. How are teachers supposed to teach virtually and in person, proctor and plan, and clean and sanitize? There are also issues with bandwidth for the limited number of students that are already in the buildings. How will this be addressed? There will be a greater need for substitutes because of the COVID guidelines. We have a hard time finding substitutes during a typical year. How will this be handled? Stephen Kamate. My name is Stephen Kamate. I am a father of a child in the Harford County Public School System, and I strongly oppose Harford County Public Schools' proposed plan for reopening schools. Returning children and teachers to schools is not safe. It is not feasible logistically. Any plan that rotates daily rather than weekly will not allow for effective learning. Exposing children and teachers to other children and adults at school is reckless and goes against public health guidance to slow or stop the spread of COVID-19. Currently, children are either home or in locations their parents have chosen. The return to school, even with schools at 1/4 capacity, will expose children to new people who have a different acceptable risk threshold, and even to individuals who may have COVID-19 and not know it. COVID-19 can be transmitted by people who appear healthy. No one, not Johns Hopkins, not the CDC, and not Harford County Public Schools, can guarantee the people entering school buildings will be COVID-19 free. Teachers should have the option to continue 100% remote learning. If a teacher wants to return to work, that is their option. But forcing teachers to return to work or forcing teachers to choose between their health and the health of their families or keeping their job is abusive and unconscionable. Parents cannot be relied upon to do the right thing and keep sick children home, as can be seen from the incident in Massachusetts where a high schooler was sent to school despite testing positive for COVID-19. The disruption from virtual learning one day a week will mean teachers will need to get children back into the routine over and over, and the lack of consistency is an ongoing problem. A one day per week return will also mean children will only receive one special area in person. If music reaches a child, but the child only gets art in person, the child's unique learning needs are not being met. And if some children get media library access and others do not, that gives the children with media an unequal access to books. Further, asking teachers to teach in person remotely and asynchronously at the same time is not viable. How will a single teacher meaningfully interact with in-person students, give useful instruction to remote students, and create material for asynchronous students? Either students will work themselves to the point of exhaustion, or the quality of education will drop. Rotating groups of students daily will not allow for effective cleaning between groups. Current research indicates that COVID-19 can survive on the surface for 4 days. A weekly rotation would be more reasonable. If the children were in the school Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, natural COVID-19 die-off would make sure any areas missed by cleaning procedures were not harboring the virus for the next group of children. Then in a four-week period, all groups could be brought in without the second group being exposed to the first group's germs, the third group being exposed to the second group's germs, and so on. In summary, 1, teachers need to be guaranteed the right to opt out of the return to school with no fear of adverse actions on their pay or their career advancement. 2, parents need to be able to opt out of a return to school for their child with no fear of their child receiving inferior education. And 3, for teachers who freely choose to return to the school and children whose parents want to return to the school, groups should rotate weekly to ensure no surface-based cross-contamination in the cohorts. Susan Pender. Hello, I'm writing to you as a HCPS teacher and a former parent, aunt, great aunt, and grandmother. Like the county, I appreciate the desire to have our school system return to normal. I respectfully disagree with the methodology. First, why aren't teachers and other staff members being made part of the planning process? Merely being asked for feedback after the fact is not sufficient. This is not authentic collaboration. As a teacher, I understand the need to be flexible, but how can I effectively plan lessons for my students when it seems as though the reopening plans change almost weekly? Just as teachers and students are finally getting the hang of its learning and maintaining engagement in a virtual world, our plans are turned upside down again. Students need consistency and routine, and you are not allowing for that. I ask that you at least allow us to continue with our current model through the end of the first quarter before moving forward. During this pandemic, I have focused on Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We need to focus on the students' basic needs, which are psychological needs, food, water, warmth, and rest. Next are the safety needs that include security and safety. My concern is having schools all reopen, we cannot address their needs nor ours. Why can't we continue with our plan to stay virtual until the end of the first quarter? The numbers have been predicted to rise during flu season, and we will have to reclose again. Not to mention the air quality and the school infiltration systems are not what they need to be. We teachers have spent a lot of time all summer, money, and effort setting up spaces in our homes that are conducive to teaching. These involve extra monitors, sit-stand desks, writing slates for computer adaptation, and raised platforms for monitors, to name a few. Are you going to provide these resources for us in our classrooms? Have the additional Chromebooks been delivered for K through 3 students, or will those students be expected to bring their personal devices to school in the meantime? Have the teacher webcams arrived and been installed in our classrooms so that we can effectively teach in person and virtual students simultaneously? I hope the parents of our community understand that when you explain the newest plan. Based on my understanding of the plan, while children in physically sit in our classrooms, they will still be seated behind a computer with their headphones on while I teach from my computer so I can also attend to the students who are working virtually from home. With students in the classroom, masks will have to be worn by all, including the teacher, and masks could make it more difficult for students to hear or understand what the teacher is saying. This is especially true at the elementary level, where children are focused on phonemic awareness and pronunciation. You will be putting those students at a greater disadvantage compared to now, where they can actually see their teacher's smiling face as they talk. Virtual teaching is a serious juggling act. While teaching a lesson, I am keeping an eye on students in the lobby so that I can allow them into the Teams meeting, checking for raised hands, monitoring behaviors of those students with cameras on, and monitoring the chat for questions for inappropriate comments. By bringing small groups of students into the classroom, you are now asking me to juggle even more balls. Now I must monitor the behaviors and questions of students in the room. Should they be encouraged to communicate with me through the chat feature, even though we are in the same room? At what point does it become too much for any one teacher? I don't know that I would want to send my child to school if this is the experience they will have. Lastly, what are the safeguards that will be put into place to prevent any outbreak in a school building? What will happen if a student or teacher tests positive? As a teacher with an underlying hypertension, which is the genetics, a heart condition, pre-diabetic, and at higher risk, it is imperative that I know my health and well-being, as well as that of everyone in the building, is taken into consideration. Without some clear answers, I don't feel comfortable being mandated back into the classroom at this time. Thank you for your time. Jamie Steele White. Thank you for taking the time to read my message. I'm at a loss on what to say, as my last comment was read during the last meeting, so among so many others, that I don't feel like the board addressed any of our concerns. There was more focus on how to handle your board meetings, and honestly, I don't care what you do. Let's focus on what's most important, our kids. My concerns remain the same, as I have seen zero improvement. This, number one, this is way too much screen time for our kids. It's basically like they are little telecommuters sitting behind a laptop all day. My daughter has complained of headaches despite wearing prescription blue light reducing glasses. The screens are so small. I know at 42, I wouldn't be able to stare at the screen all day. Number two, kids should be experiencing all aspects of school, both social interaction as well as structure. Kids are learning from their beds or confined in a small space. This is not working. 3. Fridays are a joke. My child has kept an open mind about virtual learning and does okay when there is actual learning or instruction. We have had tears every Friday. She gets assignments dumped into its learning, and we are exactly where we were in the spring. Again, not learning. Get rid of Fridays if you are unable to come up with a way for our kids to actually learn. 4. Kids have been participating in team sports where hundreds are present. You can't figure out a way to teach our kids. You continue to backtrack, pass blame, and avoid what really needs to happen. Our kids need to get back to school. I have so many more concerns, but seriously doubt any of your input is even a priority to you at this point. I feel deflated and like we are failing our children. They have zero voice. Do better. Thank you for your time. Josephine Crossgrove. Good evening. My name is Josephine Crossgrove, and I am a paraeducator at William S. James Elementary School in the STRIVE program. Currently, there is an elementary school in our county that has about 50 children and 13 adults in the Learning Center. Last Wednesday, 8 children and 2 adults were sent home due to a student displaying COVID-19-like symptoms. Now there are 40 students and 11 adults in the Learning Center. On Thursday, 7 students and 2 adults were sent home at the same school because a student displaying COVID-19-like symptoms. Now there are 31 students and 9 adults in the school. So now we have 30% of the children and 31% of the adults who have been quarantined because of possible exposure to COVID-19. And this is just one school. I am sure there are similar statistics in most of the other schools. In spite of the negative comments that have been and will continue to be read, everyone wants to resume school in a face-to-face classroom. Many adults are working from home because it is not safe to return to the office. Those who work in food service are not allowed to completely reopen to full capacity. When going into a grocery store or retail store, there is someone counting the number of customers exiting and entering because they are not allowed to reopen to full capacity. Our places of employment are forbidding us to enter the office. We are ordering our groceries and supplies online and picking them up rather than entering a store. We are having restaurants deliver food to us because we are afraid of entering their dining room. We're not allowing our children to play with other neighborhood children and resume recreation sports. Why? Because it's not safe. It is not safe for you to go to your office or restaurant. Why are you forcing our babies and teenagers into schools? Now is not the time. John Connolly. I am starting my 26th year teaching and my 13th year in Harford County. My wife is also a teacher in Harford County, and we have 2 children who attend the HCPS Elementary School. I would consider myself a vested stakeholder in the education that Harford County provides, and as a stakeholder, I feel that my voice is being ignored. I was pleased and proud of our county leadership during the summer when it was discussed and announced that we would be conducting synchronous virtual learning for the first semester. I thought it was a wise move so families, teachers, and students could prepare for a safe and functional school year, allowing everyone time to reevaluate our learning plan based on the odd circumstances we have found ourselves in for the past 6 months. I thought it was a wise choice that allowed us as educators to prepare for our new virtual learning environment. I thought it was a wise plan given the chaotic mess that a hybrid model posed, and at least a virtual learning classroom resembled an actual classroom. After 2 weeks of virtual learning, I feel that we are delivering high-quality education given the parameters of this virtual learning platform. I can hardly begin to explain the upheaval I felt when Governor Hogan announced that schools should consider reopening sooner than we expected, and even further upheaval when it was announced this past Friday that county wanted to do a complete 180 and return to the chaotic and quite frankly unachievable hybrid model. After looking over the county's outline proposal to return to in-person learning, I find it to be vague and lacking any realistic features. This plan presents no real allowances for keeping classrooms, buses, lavatories, and cafeterias clean. It's very easy to say that these places will be sanitized, but it's an entirely different scenario to pragmatically figure out who is going to be doing the cleaning. I feel that once again, a plan has been put forth without any real input or considerations from our teachers. We're the ones who have to practically execute this plan. We're the ones who will be scrambling to create lessons that must be delivered to students in our physical classrooms and to students watching from home and students who are learning asynchronously. We're the ones putting our own health at risk doing a job that we just learned how to do safely and remotely. We lack the proper PPE to keep ourselves and our students safe, and we lack adequate technology to properly teach these multiple groups simultaneously. We lack the proper time to prepare to shift once again from virtual learning to this proposed hybrid plan. As a teacher whose health puts me in the higher risk category, I do not feel comfortable returning to school with such an incomplete and vague proposal. You can build a plan based on the metrics and charts, but you cannot create a plan that fully protects everyone from the realistic situation that the county wants to put us in, namely an environment in schools that does not adequately protect its stakeholders. I realize that reopening schools is a daunting and overwhelming task. However, I refuse to take part of a plan that seems to be driven without teacher input and propelled by a political agenda without any real regard for our safety. Please stick to the plan to teach and learn virtually until we can devise a safe and realistic plan to return to school. Thank you. Todd Peterson. I am very pleased with the execution of virtual school since the beginning of the school year. I appreciate the board's focus on student and staff safety and continued resistance to external political pressure and the public calls to reopen that appeal primarily to matters of individual convenience. While a return to in-person schooling is the ideal outcome, it is secondary to the need for assurance that our schools do not become COVID-19 transmission incubators. I support a continuation of virtual instruction through the semester and potentially through the remainder of the school year. My concern is in regards to the implied termination of virtual instruction if social distancing and cohort mixing guidance is loosened at the state level. In such a scenario, we will be asking students and staff to be mixing in the high-risk environment. Will students mixing at school will have increased probably of asymptomatic transmission and presenting a heightened risk to high-risk individuals living at home. For this reason, I strongly support maintaining a continuation of a virtual instruction option for the foreseeable future that provides all full access to instruction for all courses, including AP classes and other classes needed to fulfill requirements for students engaged in advanced curriculums. Maintaining a virtual attendance protocol is essential, particularly. Jennifer Walfort. To whom it may concern, I am writing in response to the not yet unveiled plan to return to school. I understand how difficult your position must be, balancing competing interests among many groups of concerned citizens. Dr. Bolson's teaser last week has generated some concerns. First, I will outline my understanding of the new plan. 1. More children will return to school on a limited, likely rotating basis and phases, with youngest and highest needs returning first. 2. Teacher staff will be returning, required to return or take leave. LSCs have been difficult to staff at the low rate of enrollment, and teacher staff would be necessary to make it work. 3. Virtual learning will remain an option for the majority of students who will not be in school on any given day, i.e., if only 8 are in the classroom, roughly 20 will be learning remotely. 4. Social distancing will remain required. 5. Masks will be required based on my understanding of what little information has been released of this new plan. I am not in support of any plan that will require teachers to teach by way of camera, microphone, computer while wearing a mask. You are making the teachers' jobs more difficult than they need to be while adding a significant amount of distractions by virtue of being in a classroom with students. You are simply cutting them off at the knees. In turn, you are hijacking our students' education. How effective will that teacher be in communicating their lesson plan? How will a teacher be able to instruct a child properly in phonetics and pronouncing words, letters, if a child is unable to see the teacher's mouth move? Any connection a teacher is in the process of making with their students will be needlessly hampered by wearing a mask. Facial expressions are extremely important when celebrating achievements, helping children, teaching children, and correcting children. It seems to me that the people who are coming up with these plans are not spending a tremendous time in schools. For instance, in those elementary schools where classes are held in trailers, if one child needs to go to the restroom, two go so no one child travels alone. If a child is being dismissed early, three children go, so two can return to the classroom. So how will social distancing be achieved under those circumstances? Are all the routine safety drills being suspended at this time, fire drills and lockdown drills? God forbid there is an emergency in the school. How will a new student or a kindergarten student know what to do or where to go? Before imposing new requirements upon your teachers, I would suggest your next board meeting be undertaken with most attendees on camera, using your microphones and wearing masks. Once this is done, perhaps you will see a work day when all your activity is undertaken on camera, microphone, and masks. When the board returns to its meeting live and unmasked is when teachers should be returning to the school to teach. Not a moment sooner. The expectations you have of your employees during a pandemic are unreasonable and quite shameful. I am thankful that I am not an employee of HCPS. I always thought it was impossible for teachers to be more unappreciated and undervalued than they are. I was wrong. HCPS appears to be taking it to a new low. Lakeisha Cephas. Each individual views COVID-19 risk from their own paradigm or based upon their family's health posture. Thus, a one-size-fits-all approach is not the best option. Consequently, it is imperative that options are available for our children and educators. The board should consider providing two education platforms, public distance learning and in-person learning, or a school of choice voucher system. Although the Maryland Health Department reports a statewide positivity rate of 2.85 with 3,735 deaths, the possibility of one child or educator contracting this deadly virus with poor outcomes is too much to ask. Being an active duty soldier for over 20 years of service, I understand the meaning of self-sacrifice for the greater good. However, none of our educators and children should have to make this sacrifice. Children are highly social, thus social distancing, masking, and hand washing will be difficult to enforce. Until a vaccine and or same-day testing is available, COVID will continue to be a threat. Angela Gorsuch. I am writing with my concerns about in-school learning. If this is what the next step is, my daughter will not be included. I feel that the guidelines cannot and will not be followed. My daughter's safety is my number one concern and my only concern. I want to make sure that online learning will still be available for parents that do not want to send their children back into a classroom. My daughter is in fourth grade, and I know that many parents send their children to school sick because they don't want to stay home with them or they can't stay at home with them. And that is not a chance I'm willing to take with my daughter's health or life for that matter. Jamie Carter. I want to first thank my children's teachers as they are doing an amazing job. However, even with 100% effort from our teachers, this is not working. We are failing these children. My ninth grader either got kicked out or could not get into class multiple times last week. My first grader cannot learn anything from a screen as no first grader can. It is mind-blowing that someone thinks it's okay for kids to sit and look at a screen for 7 hours. These kids need to be in school for so many reasons. They need it for their education and also for their mental health. Just because these kids aren't in school together doesn't mean they aren't getting together. They are having play dates and meeting up to play sports as they should be. How is Florida, New York, and Jersey able to open schools? Is anyone looking at numbers? End the madness and open the doors to our children. Thank you. Michelle Blake. If schools can be reopened, why are you still meeting virtually? The number of members on the board is under the governor's recommended number of people in attendance. Why continue this discombobulated method of meeting? I would also like to take the time to thank the teachers and staff of the schools for tirelessly working to provide an education for our students. You are not thanked enough for the hours and hours you give outside of the school day. Thank you for your time. Aaron Hankins, Dr. Bolson and members of the Board of Education, I opened this comment with several questions. Is there a written update to the Board of Education policy manual for handling COVID-19 with respect to all HCCPS staff, personnel, faculty, students, and visitors? Is there a true operational guidance, standard operating procedure, or memoranda that is meant to update and or augment the Board of Education's policy manual? If there is, where on the website could one locate this document? If it is not on the website, is there a formal written COVID-19 procedure that acts as an addendum to the Board of Education's policy manual? If that answer is yes, can it be supplied to the public for review? Or if that answer is no, why can no one within the central office answer that seemingly simple question? In this board's view, what is an acceptable level of response to 9 phone calls and 3 emails made on this topic over 2 days? As of 11:45 a.m. on Monday, 9/21/2020, I have not received even an acknowledgement of this request. Is this because HCPS does not have an answer, or worse, is it because wholesale departments at central office are not physically in the building? For brevity's sake, in this forum, I am omitting other questions I have formally submitted via PIA requests as of Thursday, September 17th. The questions above and the questions submitted formally are of vital importance in understanding how the school system is leading and formulating its action plans for return to in-person learning. To make an informed decision about input and or objection to these plans, the community needs answers to this request. As the saying goes, the devil is in the details. One does not find the granular details to make an informed decision in a 17-page PowerPoint that was released Saturday, barely 72 hours in advance of tonight's meeting. If you care to solicit public comments and not constant criticism, you need to start getting in front of these issues. The public knows that the standard protocols of the board is to wait 30 days to vote on any issue presented. We know that this procedure is not a requirement by law or policy, and thus you could choose to vote tonight. Continually releasing presentation notes is what equates to the dark of night has become the norm with the leadership of ACPS. I understand that the school system is worried about safety and liability, but at what point do these expenses outweigh common sense? Since last Monday's presentation, we have learned that 48 staff and students are isolated from the learning centers because of symptoms. Footnote 1, after reading the State of Maryland COVID-19 guidance, footnote 2, I must question to what degree will symptoms require forced isolation. The concerning part, footnote 3, is when a person has any symptom consisting of cough or shortness of breath. If we are now judging every bodily function to be a potential symptom of COVID, does this mean that the school system can now engage in systemic discrimination against kids with allergies? I will be listening intently to tonight's presentation. I am hopeful that these questions will find some answers. I am further hopeful that Dr. Bolson and the board will educate me with finite details of the plan of action to get our kids back into the classroom. Of course, these are all hopes, and only your actions will prove that you are being effectual leaders. Respectfully, Aaron Hanskins. Monica Malozzi. For at-risk teachers, 60-plus years old, pregnant teachers, immune deficiencies, or other underlying conditions, are there ways to continue teaching virtually with a medical note? If there are not, what measures are being taken to protect these employees? Weekly testing, providing each classroom with a sufficient stock of cleaning supplies, providing PPE? And if someone, a teacher or student at risk, were to be exposed and become critically ill, how is HCPS preparing for the emotional consequences on the community? Megan Lertz. Good evening, Dr. Bolson and members of the Board of Education. I am concerned with the decision that has been made to return to school. At this point, there are more questions than answers regarding safety and executing lessons with various platforms. Teachers returning to the classrooms have not been properly trained and have only received information about protocols that need to be in place for the safety of themselves and their students via Safe Schools. We have also been told that we will be receiving webcams so that students in multiple locations could access our live lessons, but have not had training or an ETA of when they will arrive at the schools. If teachers are not provided with the necessary equipment and training, we will not be able to effectively do our jobs. I am currently teaching from home. I am teaching live lessons, making playlists through It's Learning, pre-recording mini lessons, as well as working on one-on-one with my students who have selected asynchronous learning. Many days I am working longer hours than contracted, as well as working through lunch to best meet the needs of all my students and to prepare lessons that are engaging and developmentally appropriate. The times of my day that are not dedicated to live teaching are 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 and 3 o'clock to 3:50, as well as my Fridays. These times consist of PD, planning, preparation, and meeting with students and families. On October 12th, teachers will be mandated to return to their classrooms Monday through Friday from 8:30 to 3:50. The students will be returning to their normal school day of 8:30 to 3:30. Our planning and instruction and preparation time will significantly be reduced. However, our workload will increase. We will now be required to teach in person, virtually, and hold mini lessons with students who are still opting for the asynchronous plan. If we do not have our webcams, we will be tethered to our desks and not be able to meet the needs of the students in the physical classrooms. To prepare our classrooms, we have been allotted 3 Fridays. As stated above, these Fridays are already consumed with PD, planning, preparation, and student-parent contact. Are we then going to be asked to work outside of the duty day to complete these activities? According to the presented plan, on October 12th, we will be working with our students currently in the learning centers. The following week, we'll be adding in students on a one-day-a-week rotation. The expectation is to have 1/5 of our class each day. I currently have a little over 1/3 of my class utilizing the Learning Support Center. When ELL students are added in, I will have 45% of my classroom coming Monday through Friday. This does not include the students who will be rotated in. This is an example of a question that has not been addressed. If the county is expecting classrooms to be 1/5 capacity daily, what is to be done with the homerooms that already exceed that due to the learning centers? I understand that these times are unprecedented and that many are working beyond their contracted time, but to increase the workload so that it is imperative for one to do so if he or she is to remain effective is deplorable. Educators want what is best for their students. We know that in-person teaching is the best way for students to understand and apply what is being taught, but the rash decision and timeline to return is not what is best. Educators are not included on the decision-making process, and we are the frontline workers. We are the ones with the numerous questions that are not being answered. A survey that is only open for a limited time is not authentic collaboration. Many of my colleagues, including myself, were not able to access it and give feedback. I am requesting that the Board of Education not approve this updated plan until all questions have answers. We cannot build this plane in flight. We owe it to our staff and students to reopen our schools correctly and safely so that we can continue to move forward in bringing our students back into the classrooms. Thank you for your time and consideration. Raina Martin. My name is Raina Martin, and I am a concerned mother of a sixth grader who has an IEP. The following are my line of questions regarding the idea of opening back up with in-person learning. How will the school maximize the space to ensure the social distancing guidelines are being met? How will lunches be packed and served to children? What will lunchtime look like for the kids? What will be the protocol to prevent the students from using the drinking fountains, pencils, books, equipment, etc.? How often will the building, restrooms, etc. be cleaned? And will the cleaning of the building be shared so parents can see just how often it is being conducted? Will there be hand sanitizer available if students are not allowed to bring it into the school? What is the protocol if someone is sick with COVID? How will the parents be notified, and what is the timeline of notification? Are all students being required to come back, or just a few for IEP. What is the classroom capacity? How are safety measures in restrooms, cafeterias, and any common areas being adhered to? What's the air quality like in each classroom? How will you handle students who are having issues keeping on masks or refuse to wear a mask? How are they getting to school? What are the safety measures are in place while riding buses? I will look forward to all the answers to these questions asked. Thank you. Jeff Kotcher. Good evening. As has been widely discussed, there is overwhelming consensus that in-person learning is best for students. This does not appear to be a point worth belaboring any longer. However, it does seem worthwhile to make clear that virtual learning simply does not work for thousands in our community and imposes undue personal, mental, financial, and educational strain. The board has been hearing this loudly and clearly for some time now, so I am encouraged that you are now seeing some draft definition of HCPS's plan to accomplish the goal of returning to in-person learning. However, even with this initial plan, with the next steps, our students, teachers, and parents remain miles away from relief and miles away from where we should be based on our local realities and the underlying community spread data. Frankly, there is no justifiable reason as to why HCPS could not have developed a draft plan such as this months ago. After all, the core of this plan is largely arbitrary metrics, arbitrary dates, and ambiguous next steps. I understand that there have been immensely challenging dynamics, plenty of excuses abound, and no shortage of places towards which fingers can be pointed. But unfortunately, it has become increasingly obvious that the superintendent has no urgency to provide the leadership needed at this time and no urgency to move toward what is a universally agreed better approach to education. Further, he does not seem to hear the cries for help from our community, which again have been loud and clear for weeks. I would request that the board be more critical of HCPS leadership now and moving forward. More healthy conflict is needed. Ask the hard questions, follow up regarding statutes, be transparent and intentional to the public, and don't settle for excuses or tolerate incomplete or misleading communications. Finally, I would suggest that the board continue to meet on a weekly cadence until more meaningful actions occur. HCPS can do better, and our students deserve better. Thank you for your consideration and ongoing efforts to help navigate HCPS through these challenging times. Tammy Newbold. Board of Education, can you please clarify tonight if the proposed reopening plan provides actual in-person instruction, or is it simply in-person virtual learning? I see no value in sending students into the classroom to do virtual learning. I do see added COVID risk. If there is no added in-person learning value, the COVID risk is just not worth it. Brianna Coleman. I am pleased the Board of Education is being proactive in submitting a plan to return our students to in-person learning. I have read the plan and feel there are a few vague areas and would appreciate some clarification. How do the Learning Center attendees fall into this proposed plan moving forward to steps B and C? Will the Learning Center students be in the classroom with their teachers 5 days a week, or will each student be given the same opportunity to spend 1 day a week in school for live in-person learning if they choose to? Number two, if my child's teacher moves to the classroom for a hybrid or virtual plus in-person instruction, will the teachers be masked for the students learning at home? I have a third grader. Number three, are you planning to survey parents as to what their intentions are for a return to in-person learning? Number four, what are the guidelines on COVID-like symptoms, and how are you preparing to screen children, teachers, and staff entering school buildings and buses? Number five, do you have an update on the missing devices for the students who did not receive a device from HCPS? Are we still on track for sometime in October? This message is intended to be answered by a member of the Board of Education, not a principal. I would like to add this situation is not ideal, but you, the members of the Board of Education, are collectively responsible for making decisions that best serve our community, teachers, and children. If you are to vote in favor of a plan, and every student is not given an equal opportunity to learn in the same way and environment, you are doing the students a disservice. Erica Falk. My husband and I are two of the many parents and guardians that are faced with the daunting obstacles of virtual learning. Our son, who is 7, attending 2nd grade, and our daughter, who is 13, attending 8th grade, have been given the task of tackling classes and assignments online on a system that seems to want to thrive but has severely fallen short. We cannot thank the teachers enough for their patience and understanding, as they are rowing the same boat as many of us. But this has been the test not only our personal lives, but our careers as well. My husband and I are essential workers and have been working during the shutdown because of the pandemic. My husband or I cannot afford to leave our full-time jobs to help guide our 7-year-old with schooling. We have the help of our parents, but as they are near 70 years of age, they did not have the advantage of using computers as long as my husband and I, and at times are more confused than my children with its learning and how to access it and other programs required. I want to believe that it is the intention of the Board of Education to ensure the young minds that will one day shape our country will have full advantage of the great education Harford County Schools has to offer, but the virtual learning has not given us much confidence. I feel that schools should be open to all of those parents and guardians who need their children to access face-to-face learning and have the option to do so. For those students who were not given a Chromebook, perhaps they should be able to attend schools to ensure they achieve the proper education. It has been very challenging and heartbreaking to watch our children and their grandparents struggle, all while my husband and I are forced to maintain our jobs for financial obligation to give our children the lives they deserve. Please show us how great HCPS is and why we are proud to be residents of a wonderful school system. Michael Kilmond. This is concerning the county's current plan to place teachers back into the classrooms with what appears to be little or no concern for those teachers that may have children that are also learning virtually but are part of a different county's school system. The county has mandated that teachers must be back in the classroom in less than a month, completely ignoring any upheaval that they are creating with this decision. Families made plans for virtual learning through the first semester. Now an abrupt change by the county will throw these plans in disarray, causing any and all of the following: missed work, logistical changes, additional unneeded stress. Here is my personal example. Given what was understood before the year started, we made arrangements to be able to manage the first semester completely remotely. Work areas for both teacher and student in the house. Now HCPS is mandated to force teachers to a classroom because they can't manage learning centers would throw that entire setup into chaos. If you can't manage learning centers, why should I expect any better situation forcing people into a classroom? Your rushed decision will only cause chaos and stress into the lives of the teachers in your system, who I am sure are already stressed. I suspect the next rushed decision will only cause more pain to your already stressed staff. I understand the need to move quickly, but this situation needs buy-in from all parties. Forcing teachers with kids to go back to school outside the county to choose between their families and students is inconscionable. Jamie Bonovich. I believe we should continue to do virtual learning as planned before school started. Not only do I fear students and teachers will come in contact with COVID, but it goes deeper than that. Families have changed their whole lives around virtual learning. They have spent time and money buying desks, chairs, etc., setting up workstations because they were told it would be until the end of January. Now you are throwing in days in school. And out, making schedule changing every parent again. Also, it makes it harder on the parents to have to keep track of each child, of which child goes to school which day. Just keep them virtual learning like planned. Teachers should not have to make multiple lessons for individual, virtual, in-class, and asynchronous Fridays. We are putting more on these teachers than needed while also putting them at risk for COVID. Allie Hart. Good evening, Dr. Bolson, members of the board, and everyone listening tonight. I'm a seventh-year first-grade teacher at Roy Williams Elementary School. Please be informed that we want to be back in our classrooms with our students, but not at the cost of higher health risk and lower educational benefits. I hope you reconsider the hybrid plan where teachers are required to simultaneously teach in person and virtually. This hybrid version of teaching is, in fact, two very distinct jobs, which will be unmanageable and ineffective. Unless there is one teacher to conduct the in-person instruction and a separate teacher to conduct the virtual instruction, the workload of the teacher will be unmanageable and the benefit to the students will be lost. Please remain 100% virtual until we can effectively teach all students or come up with a more conducive plan for effective teaching and consistent learning. When we found out we'd be teaching virtually, it seemed impossible to believe it could work. We all had our concerns, but as educators, when it came down to it, we adapted. We poured our heart and soul into our students, and we figured it out, regardless of what we had to sacrifice in our personal lives due to extensive planning and pre-recorded lessons, while continuing to find ways to engage our students over a screen. Now that we're over 2 weeks in, we have made it work. Since the first day of school, we put management techniques in place. We've created sustainable and structured routines. We've established consistency each day, and we've built relationships. One of the most important ways to build relationships is with facial expressions and gestures. If I, as a teacher, am required to wear a mask while teaching virtually and with my face turned around toward the in-person students throughout each lesson, how will my students engage in the lesson and actively learn on their own? With the drastic changes that are being proposed, students will lose all of this. The management techniques that we were able to implement for 100 virtual learning will no longer work because the teacher will be spread between two settings. Additionally, the routine will change with a new schedule. There will not be consistency with the constant setting and format changes each day. Relationships will be difficult to continue building because each day there will be different students online while others wear a mask all day and aren't directly in front of the screen like the rest of the students at home. We do what's best for our students. We make decisions with them in mind. The limited hybrid plan does not seem to be in the best interest of the students and their education. The limited hybrid plan means teachers will be in the building Monday through Friday with four different groups of students. They will be placed into groups and will only attend in person one day a week. That means everyone wears masks the entire day and sit by themselves in their seat the entire day. They use only the materials they came in with the entire day. They don't get to eat lunch together. They don't get to play together, share items, or even use classroom items. They don't get to give their friends high fives and hugs. People continue to say kids need to socialize. The definition of socializing is a continuing process whereby an individual requires a personal identity and learns the norms, values, behavior, and social skills appropriate to his or her social position. We are doing just that virtually. However, the in-person conditions do not allow for socializing. The students at home will be able to take breaks and move around. However, the students in the class will not be able to do anything with anyone else. The in-person students receive no additional benefit because they are in school, as they will still be working from a device. They will receive no different materials, manipulatives, or papers. They will be sitting at a desk in the classroom instead of at home. And now, additionally, the teacher's attention will be divided between the virtual students and the in-person students. Where is the benefit to anyone? The essence of human interaction is seeing each other's faces, smiles, eyes, and hearing each other's voices. How can we do any of that with masks on? I'm sure even you have worn a mask for 20 minutes at a store and had a difficult time hearing another adult. Do you expect the students to hear each other through a screen and in person with masks covering their mouth? How can teachers effectively teach the students through a screen and in person if they can't accurately be heard through a mask? In education, the most important aspects of learning are visuals, auditory stimulation, and kinesthetic movement. Right now, this plan does not account for two of three of those aspects. Are we willing to decrease the quality of students' education by two-thirds? There will not be consistency when a first grader comes to school one day each week but stays home for the remainder of the days. There will not be consistency with the small groups. The students will constantly be changing the setting in which they are learning. How can this be conducive to learning? While we are with a small group of students in person, we will simultaneously be attempting to teach the other 75%, the majority of students who are sitting at home in front of a computer screen. That means unless we are sitting in front of the screen all day assisting the students at home or up and moving around assisting the students in the classroom, one of the groups will inevitably be ignored while the opposite group is being helped. How can we possibly meet the needs of all of our learners in two completely different formats at the same time? Aren't we concerned about real learning, feasible teaching, effective teaching? While teaching 100% virtually, I can give 100% of my attention to the computer screen and help my students. How can I manage the small group of students that will be in my classroom and the ones over the computer screen effectively? We won't be able to share our screens to show students where to go to find assignments, show students the pictures of the readouts, look at them directly when they are sharing, and certainly won't be able to give each student individualized teaching. Students, whether in person or virtual, are still expected to use its learning on devices and complete and submit all assignments through there. With all due respect, there are no benefits to this in-person group for students or teachers. We do realize all of this is very difficult for parents as well, but this is just not in the best interest of students. We want to go back to our classrooms with our students, but not at the cost of higher health risks and lower educational benefits. I hope you reconsider this plan and remain 100% virtual until we can effectively teach all students or come up with a more conducive plan for effective teaching and consistent learning to occur. Your employees are committed, have stuck with HCPS, and once again, we the teachers are being asked to perform double work with no added benefit to anyone. We are being asked to maintain an unmanageable workload for any hybrid plan. Unless there is a teacher who provides virtual instruction and a different teacher who provides in-person instruction, it requires an unmanageable workload for the teachers and no added benefits for the students. Please consider the workload of your dedicated employees when developing plans. Jamie Duvall. Hello, I am writing to share my concerns regarding the return to in-person instruction hybrid model and also the LSC, our managed quarantine situations. My concerns after speaking to a few teacher friends about the proposed return to in-person instruction are: one, it is my understanding that students will return to their classroom with their peers on a limited basis, but will return to their classroom with their peers to continue to receive instruction via the computer screen because their teacher will be teaching to the virtual students at the same time. How will teachers manage 25% of the kids in the classroom and 75% virtual at the same time? How is this any different than what we are doing now at home? My children are in third and sixth grade. I have listened to classes for the past 2 weeks for both of my children. A large portion of the class time, especially for my third grader, is spent trying to get the kids to navigate the technology. I asked the board members and Dr. Bolson to join a few of your younger kids' classes virtually and see for yourself how it was going. Two, other areas of the county also have hybrid models in place. Cameras are set up in the classroom so the teacher can stand at the front of the class presenting the lesson so kids in person are actually receiving an in-person lesson. Students learning virtual for that day can follow along at home. I know this may present some challenges, but this will allow a more traditional experience for those in person. I have friends who teach elementary grade kids in other states. They have taped off the front of their room so they know when they are out of the camera view. The teachers also have an assistant to help monitor the kids learning virtually. My concerns regarding the LSC are: one, why are kids and their cohorts being sent home for one symptom? I am a respiratory therapist and work for a hospital. We do not get sent home for testing unless we display at least two minor COVID symptoms, i.e. cough, sore throat, headache, etc., in the setting of no known COVID exposure, or one major symptom, fever, shortness of breath, vomiting, diarrhea. This is prime allergy and asthma season. Kids have a cough and sore throat. Two, when a child gets sent home, they should be required to receive a COVID test so the entire cohort isn't stuck in quarantine for 14 days because a parent doesn't want to obtain a COVID test. Three, why can't school nurses be allowed to offer families a COVID test prior to parent pick up for those families who don't have the means or are unable to arrange testing? Can schools in Maryland develop a way to fast-track kids' tests so that students and cohorts can return quicker after negative results and are not waiting a long turnaround time for results? Thank you for your time reading my concerns. Jason Gray. Hopefully this is the correct form regarding in school learning. Our family supports opening the schools back up so our children can get back to some somewhat normal lives. Our son just started kindergarten, and we strongly believe that being in school with his classmates and learning in person is very important. Our daughter is in seventh grade. She is a good student but struggles being at home. She very much is a social person and loves to interact with people. We agreed with the schools being shut out for the first few weeks to clean everything and for some data to come out on this virus. We would never in our dreams thought we would be writing to the school on the 21st day of September to make the case for our children and the children of Harford County to be allowed back in the school buildings and to allow them to have their childhoods back. Learning over Zoom or Teams is no replacement for being in the classroom. They cannot make the memories that most of us can look back on going to school over a computer. We are not diminishing coronavirus's impact on people. We have had family members that have been sick with the coronavirus. But at this point, the data is clear. This virus is not as bad as, and children do not spread it like it was thought back in the spring. We have all lived through many of really bad flu seasons that were extremely tough on children, even if they had a flu shot. Never was it considered to shut our schools down. It's bad enough that we have elected officials wielding powers that do not have which to cause small businesses to close their doors for good, or others have lost their jobs. We do not think this has not happened to families in our county. Is there not children who attend Harford County schools in which this has happened in their family? Being in the school building can be so much more than just a person education for a lot of children, and we are letting this one virus to just flip our children's world upside down. Please open the school buildings as soon as possible. Kristen Snell. Honestly, I'm not sure where to begin. I know my comments are among others with various complaints, supports, and questions regarding last Friday's announcement about returning to school. I would like to voice questions that spark concern for myself, my family, my school, and the local community. I've been a teacher in Harford County Public School for the last 20 years. I love what I do and I love going to work every day. When we were sent home last March and began virtual learning, I was unsure how this was going to unfold. But when I began to understand the seriousness of this pandemic, I was very relieved that Harford County and the state of Maryland took the steps to ensure the safety, not only of the students, but also the employees. Over the last 6 months, I have taken this pandemic very seriously. For someone who has been anti-hand sanitizer for the last 15 years, I joke that I never used it more in my life than I have over the last several months. With that being said, like many others, I have made changes to my life to significantly decrease the chances of getting COVID-19 or passing it on to others, including 2 COVID-19 tests and self-quarantine following a travel out of state. This brings me to my first question. How will traveling out of state be monitored for both staff and students? If the state of Maryland says to quarantine after returning from certain states, will I be allowed to work virtually from home? Am I provided the days or do I take it out of my own sick days? I ask this as I have some personal matters outside of the state in addition to my plans for spending the holidays with my family who I have not seen since March. In addition, if a student goes out of state, will they be making sure they quarantine and don't come to school? Will rapid tests be available to teachers and students like they are to professional athletes? Or at the very least, will everyone be required every 2 weeks or once a month to take a test? Other schools have done this to limit risks. I recognize it's extremely difficult to do with such a large district, but then again, we are really ready to open and mitigate risk to all of our employees, students, and families. I have heard conflicting information on temperature checks by HCPS. Although this is not the only way to show the first sign of symptoms, anyone that works in a school knows that kids come to school sick, whether it's because they didn't report the feelings to parents think they are fine, or parents do not have another option. Wouldn't temperature checks significantly lower risks? Wouldn't one of the main goals be decreasing risk as much as possible? Practicality of being in school. I am a science teacher who, on a weekly basis, does hands-on labs in class. I provide the lab materials to the students, and often, due to the lack of supplies, they have to work in pairs. Will we now be provided enough lab materials for each student so they won't be shared? If not, will we, as teachers, have to then clean all the lab materials between every class so that the next set of students can use them? What about the sanitation of the desk and chairs and students will be sitting at and surrounding lab tables that we perform the labs on? Also, how much and where will hand sanitizer be located? Bathrooms are hard to keep clean normally. Are we hiring more custodial staff during the day? I'd also like clarification on the role of providing support for teaching students directly in the classroom while also teaching virtually at the same time. We were just getting in a flow of creating consistency for students and families and of course ourselves, and yet here we are implementing another change. Students are teaching, trying to build relationships and make connections. How is that going to work as we teach virtually behind a mask? Won't teachers just be standing behind their computer just as they are currently at home so they can monitor the 75% of students who are still virtual? If this is the case, why come at all? Are you trying to create normalcy in a non-normal world? But is this really improving our teaching and increasing student learning, or are teachers just being used as cheaper versions of babysitters? Lastly, I honestly don't know if people who don't work directly in school buildings realize that schools constantly have substitute shortages. In my 20 years of teaching, even in a normal school year, there were not enough substitutes that would pick up the jobs. How are we going to get subs to cover during a global pandemic? I foresee staff taking more days off with fewer people to provide coverage. With the inability to combine classes, what will we do? Also, if teachers now provide that coverage, is it really safe to have so many people switch between classrooms to provide that coverage? I have additional concerns, including busing, lunch, planning, and more, but I feel the above statements cover the most crucial topics for me. I have my own views with the trajectory of the public school systems and the specific failings of HCPS to provide equitable opportunity for all state students, but to me, the latest takes it to a whole new level. The handling of returning to school, the lack of planning and forethought, the ability to roll down dates with no actual plan and limited answers in place is very scary. In my opinion, we do not know all there is to know about the current global pandemic. In years to come, we will learn more about this, all the misinformation and missteps we made, but I would rather those missteps be in overprecaution and save lives than the opposite, especially since we have no idea the long-term effects of this virus. We do know that this virus has a ripple effect. So, are you, HCPS, willing to take on a chance of 1% of your students, staff, family, and local population's lives? Thank you. Jeff Livingston. I do not support keeping public schools closed and continuing with remote learning because the students are not receiving the quality education that they would receive in school. Currently, information is scattered across too many screens and too many different tabs in its learning. My children get frustrated trying to find information. Teachers are referring to while following along with the class meeting. My children also have difficulty uploading requested assignments due to what appears to be Chromebook, Microsoft app incapabilities. These frustrations are making my children dislike school and becoming disengaged. In addition, some of the teachers appear to be having difficulties navigating the websites while trying to present information to kids in a fluid manner. This effectively turns inexperienced teachers into first-year teachers and makes the whole experience frustrating for students. Remote learning is not an effective method of learning. I urge you to reopen schools for all students by the end of the first quarter. Erin Colburn. Good morning. I'm writing to express my support for virtual learning and my appreciation about the return to in-person learning plan, specifically steps B and C, which outline dates for certain students to return to the classroom. With Dr. Bolson addressing this topic at tonight's board meeting, I offer a few concerns and questions in regard to the limited hybrid plan. First and foremost, tell me why we are not meeting in person. If you are willing to put our students back into the classrooms, and you are willing to force our teachers to teach in person, you should also be willing to meet in person. What a huge double standard and lack of trust you are creating among your community. If students are expected to return to the classroom one day a week, will students who are not in class continue their learning on the virtual platform with the teacher? Assuming the answer is yes, all of our students will still be learning at their teachers, though their computer to learn. Is that not true? This is not returning to the classroom normalcy. This is forcing our teachers to man the student learning centers and instruct our children. It's furthering the risks of COVID exposure, both in the class and at home, where unknowingly exposed students may be returning to families with compromised family members. In addition to this, still remaining virtual despite being in person one day a week, now you have removed the smiling faces from their students because all faces in person are hidden by a mask. Communication will undoubtedly be harder to hear and understand. Students won't have the ability to see their classmates without masks. How is this any different or better than what we already have in student learning centers? I'll answer that. It's not. It's worse. How will students engage both virtual students and students in class? How will they monitor who has their hand up online and who has their hand up in class? How will they be able to request that students be seated and remain socially distanced if they are trying to teach a lesson on Teams? How many distractions from the lesson do you think are too many before our quality of instruction becomes even further compromised? How will you ensure that my students will remain safe in the classroom? I am a substitute teacher for HCPS, and there are times when navigating the classroom is difficult, even in the best of times. I find it ludicrous that you are asking teachers to juggle yet another task on top of their already underpaid and overworked jobs. Our teachers are amazing, but the reality is they can't do all of this and shouldn't be asked to try. How will you ensure that students in secondary schools will safe and minimize exposure? Even just one day a week per student still leads to an unbelievable amount of exposure for students rotate from class to class. Are you also requesting that teachers add disinfecting between classes to their repertoire? Will the county be supplying PPE to teachers to keep them safe and students come and go? What is the plan if someone has symptoms or tests positive? How will you have enough substitute teachers to fill voids when I know personally there aren't enough available during a non-pandemic school year? How many of your current subs are still willing to step into the subbing position now? I'm certainly not. The moment I start increasing my COVID risk, my substitute teaching, my ability to visit with my elderly and compromised parents is gone. I am willing to sacrifice that, yet you are forcing your current staff and teachers to do so. Is that fair? Also, are you prepared for a lawsuit when the parents knowingly send a COVID-positive student to school? Parents don't even bother to keep their kids home when they have a fever or if they vomited that morning. I know because I've had students request a nurse's pass when I've subbed because my mom gave me Tylenol this morning, but I now don't feel well, or I threw up last night but felt okay this morning, so my mom sent me. That is 100% going to happen this year, too. Are you willing to take the risk of exposing an entire block of students due to the lack of consideration that some families have for others? Don't tell me I have the option to keep my students 100% virtual if I don't feel safe. That is your job to create a safe environment for my students. If you can't do it safely, you shouldn't be doing it at all. Where is the routine for these students and teachers? This is week 3 of virtual learning. Students and teachers are just finally getting into the rhythm with their learning. Technology bugs are getting worked out, and my 5th grader is finally no longer in tears about getting kicked out of her class. Why change the flow that we are just now getting into? Why are you suddenly jumping onto the bandwagon of in-person learning when the original plan was virtual until January? I cannot believe you are rushing these decisions and endangering countless amounts of teachers, staff, and students for just a piece of $10 million bribe that Governor Hogan and S.I. Salmon would put out there, split between counties that fall for it. That amount of money is so small compared to the risk you are putting on our teachers, students, family, and community. I understand that you are under an amount of pressure that I probably can't even fully wrap my mind around, but you must know that if we lose just one student or one teacher or one staff member because we were forced into an in-person instruction model before we can get enough safety measures in place, this entire community will fault you, Board of Education, for forcing our hands into it. Let the Hogan bribe go and make the better and safer choice to keep our teachers and students learning safely at home until a better and safer plan can be made. I want my kids back in school, but not with this completely inept plan. Savannah Livingston. I would like the Board of Education to open public middle and high schools by the end of the first quarter for all students. While the teachers may be working hard at making interesting lessons, the online learning environment has not been engaging or inspiring for my children, and there is an unreasonable amount of downtime during class. We continue to have technical issues such as dropped messages and my children's inability to rejoin the meeting, thus they miss portions of the class. In addition, too little effort has been put into addressing mental health concerns for the students. While mental health issues are not contagious, they arguably pose a greater threat to more students than communicable disease. The Board of Education is not prioritizing the needs of the majority of students with the current approach. Amy Haupt. As a parent of a middle schooler in HCPS, I am deeply concerned about the challenges that are possibly being made to the virtual schedule. We were told that the virtual schedule would be in effect until January 22, 2021. To prepare for this, we invested money into a laptop for our son to attend school virtually, as well as setting up a suitable learning space for his school day. I want to take the opportunity to tell you that the plan does not meet the needs of the students. The plan does not provide actual in-person schooling. One day a week or any number of days sitting in the classroom while attending class on its learning platform and Microsoft Teams is not in-person instruction. It is simply being a warm body in the school building. The schools are not prepared to provide a safe environment. Many of the buildings lack proper ventilation, windows that do not open, and the outside air. The CDC has just released information regarding COVID-19 being airborne without the proper ventilation. The students and the teachers are at a greater risk of contracting the virus by being in the classroom. The benefit of being in school includes interaction with the teacher, interaction with peers, band and chorus, recess, and physical education. Under the current health guidelines, all of these are restricted. There is no interaction with the teacher except via screen, which can be done in the current virtual school setting. There is no interaction with peers as the students must maintain a 6 feet distance. Under current guidelines, there is no group singing or playing with wind instruments, whereas under the current situation, the students can do this in the virtual setting. The current virtual schooling is not without its problems, but bottom line is the students and teachers are able to remain in a safer at-home environment and reduce the risk of community spread of COVID-19. I strongly urge the board to let this current version of schooling continue. While I hope that virtual remains an option for those who choose it, to return students and teachers to the school increases exposure risk. Making changes now that increase exposure as we head into flu and cold season places our entire Harford County community, our teachers, and our students at a greater risk of acquiring COVID-19. The positivity rates in our county are low. They are low because the community is following safety guidelines by wearing masks, social distancing, and making staying safe at home decisions. Returning to the school buildings will increase the positivity rate. As a result, HCPS will have to return to an all-virtual schedule, which causes more disruption to schedules. Please allow the school year to continue as planned. Protect the people of Harford County, including teachers and students. Tina Peterson. To whom it may concern, 2 points from a parent who has children in elementary school, middle, and high school. I do not like the way information is coming out to the parents. I appreciate that teachers heard of developments prior to the student to the parents this past Friday, September 18th, but parents need to be made aware of details as well. I should not need to rely on word of mouth through social media or gather timely insight into what is happening for our children's education. It's difficult to make clear, useful comments to the board without all of the details. From what I have gathered, HCPS plans to phase into a hybrid program sooner than later to appeal to Verhoeven's monetary incentive. Besides not feeling that it is safe to do so yet, I see no end in the complications with the hybrid strategy. What I have heard is that children will return to school for one day a week, increasing up to 2 days a week, but they will continue to work on their computer in the same manner as they do at home with synchronous learning. The difference is that they will now be masked, have limitations on their movement, and be at increased risk of infection. I do not see how working virtually at home provides any real benefit to the student over working virtually at home. Working virtually at school provides any real benefit to the student over working virtually at home. It does, however, add stress and complications. The logistics of multi-child families sending their kids in once or twice a week, two siblings go in on the same days, teachers attempting to simultaneously teach two separate cohorts whilst masked, transporting laptops between the school and the home setting. Will everyone have laptops by then? The inevitable quarantining of classes when one shows symptoms will be very disruptive to routines. What about teachers who show symptoms? How will they work from home? Will they need to drag their whole virtual setup between school and home? The cost and logistics of cleaning between cohorts, both in the school and the transportation. Ultimately, a hybrid model introduces health risks and makes the job of teachers more complex and stressful, without a huge benefit to students who will still be working virtually whilst in the school building. I do insist that parents continue to have the option to keep their children 100% virtual. Marcus Banks. Will parents who wish to keep their kids 100% virtual be allowed? Since this meeting is virtual and no parents are allowed, why would I want my child in school around others? With winter coming, this is only going to make things a lot worse. Who will be held liable and accountable for those who get sick or die? We still do not know the long-term effects of this virus. What about families who have elderly parents living with them? What mitigation factors go into this? Parents who do not want their kids to return to in-person learning until the pandemic ends should be allowed that right. Patty McLean. As a teacher in HCPS and a parent of two young children, I implore you to maintain the original timeline you proposed for our return to school. Larry Hogan's bribe to force a reopening of schools before it is safe to do so, and the vocal minority of on social media who put us all at risk. The plan being proposed tonight, essentially expanding the HCPS Learning Support Centers by having students come in approximately once per week to learn virtually from their teacher via Microsoft Teams, is absolutely not enough reward for all the risk. In fact, it makes me very anxious to think about the extra risk and responsibilities. My understanding is that we will continue to conduct class as we have been, but with a quarter of our students in the room and under my care. I will be splitting my attention between the students in my class and the students at home when it is already difficult to teach a lesson and monitor online activity, all while continually gauging my students' understanding. And this will be done while being masked, as it should be, but be speaking clearly enough so that they can hear me. I have spent a lot of time in the mask. It is difficult to hear people in the room, especially when you cannot see their mouth. I cannot imagine how much harder that is online. I have so many questions and worries. What kind of PPE will be provided? Will we be able to maintain 6 feet? How do we add mask management into teaching, into our teaching toolbox? What happens when someone gets sick? How do I responsibly protect myself and those that are in my care? My personal concerns regarding my own children. I would like to make the choice to keep them safe at home with me, but I cannot make that choice and still perform my duties for HCPS. So I place them in daycare. That center, thankfully, takes COVID concerns very seriously. And to that end, since I returned to work this school year, their daycare has been shut down 4 times due to COVID concerns. 4 times in 3 weeks. This is scary and disruptive, but necessary. During those instances where my children could not attend and not seek attentive care due to quarantining, I have continued to fulfill my professional duties from the safety of my home. It is hard, but I did not disrupt the commitment I made to HCPS. This will not be the case when I return to the building October 12th to perform my same duties, but from a different location. I will have to care for my children. Additionally, this has been a costly year for teaching. Setting up a home office that is conducive to live instruction does not come cheap. It is painful that I spent hundreds of dollars of my own money for a setup that I am only using for a few weeks. Paying for a daycare that may not be open and a home office that will soon not be needed has created a significant financial burden for me, but still, my students are receiving the best of me. Of course, I want to be with my students, but I also want my family to be safe. I want my community to be safe. I want my children home and safe. I do not want to be a guinea pig. I want to stick with a proposal that I spent weeks and weeks outside of my contract time preparing for. Please maintain the course originally proposed. Let me keep giving my students and family the best of me because we are all safe and healthy. Please do not vote to pass this unsafe partisan measure. Kaylee McConin. What PPE will HCPS be providing for students and teachers to ensure their safety? We will need masks, soap, sanitizer, cleaning wipes, and possibly dividers in order to safely re-enter classrooms. Why were teachers not utilized when creating this plan? Hearing teacher feedback is not genuine collaboration, and 2 days is not adequate time to read our concerns, consider them, and make necessary changes before releasing the plan to the public. Jennifer Duncan. Are kids going to be forced to go back to school, or will there be an option to keep doing virtual learning at home?